A series of document pages have been leaked online by an individual who claims to have been an employee of the Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Sciences team. I'm going to read the statement made by the individual, and then we'll move into what was shown in these leaked document pages that they provided alongside their testimony. "I really did not want to write this," they start. "However, after careful discussion with colleagues, I'm going to go with what my gut tells me I should do. I can't sit on the sidelines while I observe the UAP field and narrative get filled with half-truths and obfuscations. In this post, I'll be providing evidence of documents that cannot be FOIA'd, which means Freedom of Information Act. I'll even give my perspective on anti-gravity and the overall landscape of the current UAP field when it comes to intelligence agents that are masquerading as truthers. What I speak on is based on my own experiences and observations from being in the field for almost four decades. I have a degree in electrical engineering from a college somewhere in the south of the USA. I'm not going to say the name of the school because it will be very easy for people inside the DOD to track me down if I give away too much, considering that not many were recruited from the college that I graduated from. I was recruited shortly out of college to work in black operations, specifically on the electrical engineering, microelectronics, and pulsed power side. These black programs do not necessarily care about your academic credentials as much as they care about two things: can you think outside of the box, and can you shut up about it? I don't know everything, but the things I'm sure of, I will write about here. Why am I doing this now? Because I was given 8 months to live. And I will do what I can while alive to try and make a positive impact in the community. I sometimes can't sleep, seeing some of the blatant lies being fed to the community. Let me put this bluntly before I get into the anti-gravity and tech. Jay Stratton and Lou Elizondo are one of the reasons that various zero-point energy devices have never seen the light of day. They've been personally responsible for destroying careers, families, and the mental well-being of various physicists and engineers over many decades. Lou used to be a counterintelligence agent for more than one WSAP, which is a waived, unacknowledged special access program, and did not get involved in the UFO subject by chance. He and Stratton were involved long before the whole ATIP ORSAP saga. Lou is not a bad person at heart. But it makes you wonder why he has done what he's done in order to destroy others. I know many of you may judge this statement and think that I'm defending him, but there are many good things that he's done in this field as well that many people will likely never know about. With that said, he's definitely compromised in terms of putting US national security above all else, and that is a concern at this point. It's a concern because the DOD has long been infiltrated with warmongers and profiteering cranks that want to keep all of this technology and knowledge silent for the sake of their own self-preservation. I gave him the benefit of the doubt at first, but this is getting to the point of blatant stupidity. To a very small extent, I don't blame them. However, to hide this from humanity is becoming more of a curse than anything else. People have the right to know. Jay Stratton, however, is a real scummy person. Don't get me started on the shit that that guy's done to some of my colleagues. I have zero sympathy for that man. Sean Kirkpatrick is a pawn. He lies through his teeth like Ron Pandolfi has and does. To add, please don't ask me about Jack Sarfati. He's considered a laughingstock to those involved in various programs. Also, there are just over 2,000 legacy programs working on reverse engineering UAP. Hal Puthoff recently said on Joe Rogan that we have more than 10 recovered craft in the USA. That number is in the hundreds at a minimum. Jeremy Corbell is a useful idiot in many cases. Some of what he releases is accurate, but when he says that us humans cannot replicate or understand any propulsion systems that the craft use or whatever nonsense he spews is a blatant lie. I doubt he actually knows the truth, to be fair, so I don't believe that he's deliberately lying. Dave Grush, Jake Barber, and Mike Herrera are the real deal. I respect them and their efforts. Let me say now, please do not ask me about Immaculate Constellation, because I know nothing of any of those alleged specified programs. I'm an electrical engineer, not a spy. However, being in this field, you pick up tradecraft methods and learn how to run with the wolves, so to speak. Human beings, through both novel innovation and also through reverse engineering, brackets not mutually exclusive, have mastered anti-gravity to a certain degree. When I say certain degree, I mean operational craft that can leave our solar system. It sounds nuts, but it is the truth. Some have succeeded by means of pure human ingenuity, and others did it with access to recovered UAP materials. This level of mastery exceeds anything that even our most traditionally secret military programs have. Booz Allen, Honeywell, Lockheed Martin, MITRE Corp, Raytheon, Boeing, etc. all have their own versions of various anti-gravity technologies. There is a difference between gravitational shielding slash repulsion and actually generating high-frequency gravitational waves. The pursuit of Thomas Townsend Brown is exactly where people should be looking. Zero-point energy manipulation has to do with the electromagnetic vector potential. That is as far as I will go on that. I was involved in a project that utilized Tesla turbines, plasma toroid chambers, microwaves, crystals, extremely strong rotating magnets, and various other obtainable components that generated many kilowatts of gravitational waves, or gravitons, as some call it, in a private BAE lab. The total cost of the project was just under $3 million US to build the gravity generator. It can and has been done time and time again, successfully. Gravitational waves are measured electromagnetically due to it being a consequence of the curvature of space-time itself. Metamaterials are not needed to generate macroscopic proof-of-concept gravitational phenomena, plain and simple. You will notice in some of the files I'm showing that the Soviets coined a term, rotational gravitation, and believed that rotating masses acted as emitters and receivers of gravitational waves. I'm not going to argue with those in the comments that say this isn't possible, and I'm not going to argue with idiots that don't know how to think outside of the box. My question is this: if the Soviets thought this to be worthy of experimental investigation, then why is it not being done here? Oh wait, it is. It's just going to stay forever classified. Forever. Ask Jay Stratton why he prevented multiple inventors from getting their own laboratory. Because many of the inventors he suppressed focused on rotating capacitors, something the Soviets pursued very quickly. I'm sure his $1 million book deal helped smooth over all of the people he royally fucked. My beef is that we're classifying basic science that our adversaries are now discussing in more open forums and in peer-reviewed literature. It's bullshit. All for what? So that Lockheed can make science breakthroughs proprietary and own it? The closest I've seen anyone in the public domain get to describing how the technology works is Lieutenant Colonel Tom Bearden, and a few others. The tough part of all of this is taking the theory and applying it to a practical experiment. Not many can bridge that divide, but a small genius chunk of engineers and some theoretical physicists have. You want to know who a real high-level gatekeeper of this stuff is? Admiral John Michael Mike McConnell. He currently works at Booz Allen, or at least that was the last I heard of his whereabouts. I realize now that being given limited time on this planet makes you think about what really should matter. I want the next generation to have a chance. P.S. The Tic Tac is ours, brackets, humans. I worked on certain aspects of it personally. So it's very interesting. I can't speak to the veracity of claims about working on the Tic Tac, but it does seem like this person was a Bigelow Aerospace employee. The documents, which we'll get into in a moment, would signify that they were involved in the Bigelow Aerospace studies. And they seem to have a warning for the UFO community not to trust individuals like Lou Elizondo and Jay Stratton. Now, I have to say, Lou recently came under fire in the public, and deservedly so, for presenting an image during a congressional briefing which he described as if it were a UFO, only for this image to be debunked as an aerial photograph of irrigation fields in less than 24 hours. Providing an unvetted, unverified photograph as part of your presentation to Congress is an incredibly poor decision for someone of his caliber to make, unless it was deliberate. And this is now the second time that Lou has shown an image to the public with a story attached to it that suggests that it's a UFO, only to have it debunked by sharp eyes and minds online within 24 hours. The first instance was that of a claimed UFO mothership. Lou presented this image at a UFO conference, claimed he had spoken to the pilots involved personally. The image was quickly debunked as the reflection of a light fixture, and Lou was forced to admit this online. on X, but this admission would indicate that the pilots who he said he spoke to never existed. How could they exist if the image was not of a UFO mothership? Lou said the pilots confirmed the event, but no event took place. Lou said a pilot confirmed this new photo he presented in a congressional environment, and yet no UFO is actually present. So who are these anonymous pilots that Lou keeps listening to? Do they even exist? This Bass Insider individual mentioned Admiral John Michael McConnell as a UFO gatekeeper, which is an interesting element of the claim. Admiral Michael McConnell has held several highly influential positions throughout his career in national security. He served as a vice admiral in the United States Navy, his most significant role serving as the director of the National Security Agency, the NSA, from 1992 to 1996, under President George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton, and later as the United States Director of National Intelligence, DNI, from February 2007 to January 2009. During the first Gulf War, McConnell served as the intelligence officer for the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, General Colin Powell, and for Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney, placing him at the nexus of military intelligence during a critical period of high energy research and development. After retiring from the Navy in 1996, McConnell joined Booz Allen Hamilton, where he developed the firm's information assurance and intelligence business, focused on policy, operations, transformation, homeland security, intelligence analytics, and counterterrorism. McConnell's lengthy career at Booz Allen Hamilton, joining in 1996 and becoming vice chairman, and retiring in 2014 while continuing as a senior executive advisor, is pretty significant, as this firm has deep connections to classified defense and intelligence programs. Now let's talk about the Bigelow Aerospace document pages that this guy provided alongside his post. They seem to be real. Real internal Bass documents, and his testimony comes across as knowledgeable, so I currently don't have a reason to believe that they're faked documents. But what are they saying exactly? Honestly, not much at all. They might look interesting, but really what you're looking at here is standard computational fluid dynamic simulations on airframes that match the Tic Tac in description to test how the vehicle would interact with an Earth atmosphere environment at high speeds. There's also a separate test on the electrical properties of a metallic sphere being charged with 300 megahertz, but again, this is a conventional experiment, nothing exotic, and the sphere itself is not exotic either, and the airframe fluid dynamic tests on the Tic Tac are not treating the vehicle as an exotic energy or next generation propulsion system. They're not accounting for or considering novel atmospheric shielding capabilities. So these are just basically standard tests to see how a Tic Tac shaped platform traveling at the speeds that the Tic Tac UFO was claimed to have been traveling at would behave in our atmosphere. And as the test demonstrates, it would not behave very well with significant forces building up on the front and sides of the platform. You have a graph included with speeds reaching almost 82,000 miles per hour, which corresponds to Mach 107 and the pulling of about 7,450 Gs, which are the speeds the Tic Tac was supposed to be traveling at when the radar picked up these incredible descents from 60,000 feet to just above sea level in mere seconds. But again, this is all information that we already had from years back, so there's nothing new here at all. I'd say the most interesting out of the document pages is the one mentioning Thread 3 theory and rotational gravitation. From Russian sources, there's one excerpt that describes a 1991 program at Russia's Rhino Center to test whether spinning masses emit gravitational waves that could produce propulsion. These notes cite different scientists in Russia that are all known for various torsion field theories and ether vacuum models of gravity. Torsion field theories posit that space-time is not only curved, as in general relativity, but is also twisted, possessing a property called torsion, which arises from spin or angular momentum of matter. In traditional Einstein-Cartan theory, which is a less-known extension of general relativity, mass not only curves space-time, but the spin of particles twists it. The twisting creates torsion fields, subtle vortex-like distortions in the vacuum that can propagate, store information, or influence matter and consciousness. And then the ether vacuum models of gravity say that empty space is not empty, but that it is filled with a structured, dynamic medium, often called the ether, quantum vacuum, or zero-point field, ZPF. unlike 19th century mechanical ether concepts, modern ether vacuum models treat space as a superfluid, a plasma, or an energy lattice capable of carrying waves, transmitting force, and serving as the substrate of all particles and fields. In modern physics terms, these ideas are considered pretty fringe. Mainstream science does not recognize a mechanism by which spinning an object in a lab will produce net thrust via gravitational waves or vacuum interactions. But as we know, during the Cold War, many avenues of high energy physics and propulsion research were classified, including fundamental scientific avenues that would completely blind the surface level of science outside of classified environments towards certain revelations that are now considered national security secrets. And so we have to consider the possibility that these so-called fringe ideas in physics have been explored in black projects with far greater interest. Bass's inclusion of these slides suggests that the contractors were surveying these ideas surrounding torsion physics and gravitational ether models for the purpose of exploring novel propulsion methods. The leaked Bass documents cover an advanced technical analysis of the Nimitz Tic Tac UFO and related topics. They show Bass's use of standard computational fluid dynamics and EM tools to model the Tic Tac's aerodynamic and radar signatures. The only startling results are the kinematics, where it mentions thousands of Gs for the reported maneuvers, which no known human-rated vehicle could endure. All in all, these leaked slides don't do a whole lot for us. They don't give us any new information that we didn't already have access to. I feel like the pages were leaked alongside the insider testimony as a means of bolstering the legitimacy of the insider claims towards working for Bigelow Aerospace. Having access to these pages would certainly indicate that this claim is true, but their release serves primarily as a means of validating that position rather than providing any actionable intelligence or new information in relation to insider knowledge that Bigelow Aerospace had access to. The more interesting element of this whole situation, in my opinion, lies in the testimony itself and the warning it provides towards placing trust in intelligence officials operating as champions of UFO disclosure in the public. The recent discrepancies involving Lou Elizondo highlight that that warning is justified. So in summary, we have some interesting claims, some interesting names, and some less interesting pages that I think were simply used to justify the claim of being an employee of Bigelow Aerospace. What do you think of this person? Do you think they're legit? Is Admiral McConnell a UFO gatekeeper? Let me know what you think in the comments section below.